episode 52.
My parents, they told me stories about, you know, how the doctors told me that I would never walk. And I went to the doctor a couple months later after I'd had a surgery, and I did cartwheels, you know, down the hallway.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
Do you know who this kid is? He's from Chicago.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic. Hey, what's up, everybody? Hopefully you're as happy and excited to hear this new episode as I am to make it. A lot has happened in the last year, and let's just put it this way, life happens, priorities happen, but I will always stay true and keep putting up these episodes whenever I can. And finally, I have some daylight. This episode is a fantastic one with a young athlete currently actually playing pro. This was recorded in the summer before she went to train with Team USA, before she went to play in the Philippines for a brief period, winning that tournament slash league. And now, fast forward, she's been with Béziers in France since September, and currently she is the number one attacker in the country for the top pro league there. So very proud of her, and you're going to learn a lot about Crystal. You're going to hear a lot about what actually happens to a lot of athletes, is that there's so many internal and private struggles that they go through that they don't make public, or at least don't share with their immediate networks, which as an athlete is our team around us, whether that's, you know, our physio, our coach, our teammates if we play a team sport, etc. And you know, that's a difficult thing to choose who that's going to be shared with, when it's going to be shared, how it's going to be shared. And I think what's great is that if anyone is going through anything in their life, whether it's something that they cannot control or they can control, I think you're going to learn a lot from Crystal about how she tackled these different issues from a young age, where she was basically told that she had a slim chance at life. She would never walk again. She struggled through birth defects, through surgeries, through surviving cancer, being an athlete and being in the public eye and being in a team atmosphere and having to show your body when you do have these things that you've had to overcome and that you are overcoming. I think that there's a lot of lessons in here for everyone, and just seeing her path is inspiring. So hopefully these next couple episodes really inspire you. They talk a lot about internal and external struggles. And without any further ado, here's Crystal Rivers. Everybody, welcome to the Beyond Athletic podcast again. Today's an athlete case study. Our guest is Crystal Rivers. Hello. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell them what sport you play, where you're from.
Hi, I'm Crystal Rivers. I'm a volleyball player from Birmingham, Alabama.
And how long have you been playing volleyball?
I've been playing volleyball for about 7 years now.
Yeah. And I'll let you mention this because we're kind of similar in the way that not every athlete out there is paying attention to their stats and really trying to accomplish some goals in the number, let's say, realm. But you paid close attention to this, and I know that you're one of my athletes with Elite Volley Agency. But that's not why I asked you on. Why I asked you on is because you have a very interesting life story. And I think that a lot of people are going to be able to take a lot of things from that. Before we get into that, though, just tell people a little bit about what you've accomplished so far in school, because I know you're proud of it. I know you've worked really hard for it, and it deserves to be out there.
Okay, So, you know, I redshirted Alabama, so I spent 5 years here and played volleyball, and I was able to get, you know, 1 degree in biology, and I'm finishing up a degree right now in Spanish. Throughout my career, like you said, you know, I accomplished a lot. On the academic side, I ended up coming out Alabama because of an academic scholarship, so academics were always, you know, at the forefront for me, and I was twice named Academic All-American, which is something that I'm, like, very proud about, because it showcases, you know, like, being a student athlete, you know, both of those things together at the college level, and then I was named the NCC Scholar Athlete of the Year this year, which I really wasn't expecting, but it was also one of my biggest accomplishments, and then just from the volleyball side of things, you know, being named the 13th All-American in 2014, and then honorable mention every year besides then, has been something that was, you know, being All-American was a dream of mine, you know, once I started to fall in love with volleyball, and being named All-NCC, you know, every year here has been something that's been amazing. So throughout my journey, I was just like, it's been amazing to just like be one of the top, you know, student athletes in ACC and just to live up to those goals that and those standards that I set for myself when I first started playing here.
Mm. And you left something out also that I think is really important and shows how dominant you were in your college career. But this year you almost had the number one title, right, for kills? NCAA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I was in second all season and for total number of kills. And I was definitely chasing Danielle. she's right ahead of me. But yeah, just like I think this year is special just because, you know, I was a go-to player, you know, my first 3 years. But this year I like really had to be a go-to player, and I think I got I ended up with 705 kills on the year, just 10 behind Danielle, and it was just special for me just knowing that I could even, like, up my ante even more and be even more of a go-to player this year.
Yeah, and that's Danielle Rogalski for anyone listening. So I thought you were going to get it too, and I think it's fun to have both of you with the agency, so I'm looking forward to that. I think that'd be awesome to have you on the same team, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's take it back to your youth. Let's tell people where you're from, how you grew up. Like, were you an only child? Did you have both parents? What did you do in your free time? How did you get into volleyball? Just kind of give us a snapshot of your life, but kind of put us in those moments. So, I mean, if there's some details that matter, let us know. We want to feel like if it was a sunny day, we want to feel like we're in that sunny day.
Okay. I was born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama, my entire life. One older brother, he's just under 2 years older than me, so we're pretty close in age. And, you know, when I was born with a bunch of, like, medical issues, a bunch of birth defects. And so my early life just was really different than the average child. Pretty much everything I did when I was younger was influenced by, you know, like, those birth defects because, you know, when I was born, my doctors, you know, they told my parents that, you know, there was a slim chance that I would live. And so they did a number of operations on me that ranged from, you know, back surgeries to surgeries on the organs in my abdomen. And I just remember, like, my parents, they told me stories about, you know, how the doctors told me that I would never walk. And I went to the doctor a couple months later after I'd had a surgery, and I did cartwheels, you know, down the hallway. And I think that that one detail, doing cartwheels down the hallway, probably explains my childhood. Like, if I could sum up my entire childhood, it would be doing cartwheels down the hallway. Because I remember just being younger, just always, like, trying to be active, always trying to move, always, you know, showing people that I could do cartwheels, just showing that I can run fast and all these things. And it was really interesting because, you know, when I was younger, I was having at least one surgery a year. And so my parents, my grandparents, they were always afraid that I would hurt something that I shouldn't. I'd be playing sports. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, I had an older brother who was really close in age. So he was the one who was always playing sports, and they were like really into it. And I was like, well, I want to play sports too. And so I got into sports when I was really young. I started playing soccer, softball from elementary school. And I just remember having, you know, take breaks every now and then just to have surgery and whatnot. And, you know, during those breaks, because of my, like, my disabilities, I wasn't a very social kid. I spent a lot of time in the hospital, a lot of time with my family. And so what I would do is I would read all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, any and every type of book that I could get my hands on, I would read it. My mom, when she would get off work, she would pick me up from my grandma's house, and we'd go straight to the library. And I get, you know, 4 or 5 books and read 4 or 5 books a week, even at that age. And just from a young age all the way up throughout high school, I would do that. But yeah, when I was younger, I played softball and soccer. And then I had one little stint with volleyball in the 7th grade, but it didn't go too well.
Yeah.
I didn't really learn much. I remember my first game, I think I missed a serve and I started crying. So my coach took me out, and I don't think I played again until like one of like the last 3 games of the entire season.
Wow.
Yeah, and then after that I switched back to softball and played softball. But it was just a struggle because my mom was really worried that I get hurt, and she didn't really want me playing. And then once I got to high school, I switched back to tennis. And tennis is really, like, my love. I read books about Venus and Serena, and I had always looked up to them. And I was in love with tennis. And I never got the opportunity to play volleyball early on in high school because my first year, I missed the tryouts. My second year, I had a major, major surgery, and I wasn't able to try out. Third year, my junior year, I missed tryouts again, but they ended up having a second tryout, and I decided to, you know, try out for volleyball, and I made the junior varsity team, and from that moment on, I just really fell in love with volleyball. Yeah, and it's kind of like my story of, like, how I got into volleyball, how, like, I grew up, like, around sports and got into volleyball. And then from there, tennis was still, at that point, kind of, like, my first love, kind of, like, the main sport that I wanted to do. And I went back to tennis, didn't play club volleyball. Then my senior year of high school, I tried out again for volleyball and made the team. And I just had intentions of playing that senior season of high school and being done with volleyball because I didn't think I was good enough to play in college at all.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening was our tennis coach left, and my high school didn't get a tennis coach. And so I had talked with one of the local club directors, Julie Daly, Team Steam Man, and now it's Southern Performance Volleyball. And she really wanted me to come play for her. She thought I had a lot of potential, and I had initially told her no just because of tennis. But once my club left, I decided to play, and that's how I really got started in volleyball, I say. That's why I really just started to, like, blossom as a player and start getting to the level that I am at now.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I mean, that is a journey indeed. I'm not even lying. That's I love the fact that there's a lot of takeaways from that. I mean, you incorporated little parts about your family and school and all of those different sports that you played. And I think that it's such a different picture than what a lot of young kids are going through these days, which is usually single sport and just a ton of it. Not everybody's, you know, got a family that's really around them and stable. So it's really good that you have that. But also I like that one of the main driving factors of you being so, let's say, athletic and mobile is the fact that you heard, oh, it's not going to be possible. So when you were so happy that you could, you just did it nonstop. And I love that because that's a true resilience in the way that as an athlete, we always have these hurdles, right? And you've overcome so many so early in your life that now at this point, hurdles, I'm sure, do not seem as big when you come up against them. And so now you have a new one coming up, and that's with pro volleyball. And because there's a learning curve, and I know we're going through that. We're starting up the training for that, so you understand how to transition well.
But let's take it back to, let's say, one of the biggest struggles or hurdles in your volleyball career so far. And what happened? And then what was your takeaway to move forward? Like, what kept you moving forward, or what made you stronger from that hurdle?
Actually, one of the biggest hurdles came, you know, right as I started. Like I said, you know, my sophomore year, I had a major surgery. During that surgery, I received a ureostomy bag and a sigmoid ostomy bag. And for people, you know, who don't know, a ureostomy is, I kind of like to explain it, I explain it as kind of like an artificial bladder. It's a bag that sits on the right side of my body. It's outside of my body, and it's kind of an artificial bladder. It's where my urine goes into, because as part of my birth defect, my bladder was extremely, extremely small. And I remember my junior year actually being so terrified of, like, trying out because of, like, the ostomy. And I wasn't even thinking about, you know, getting hurt. I was thinking about, was it going to show through the spandex? And I was so afraid of that. I was afraid that, you know, I was going to be playing and, like, so now you would see the ostomy through my spandex, and people would talk about me, and I was just so afraid. And I think I spent a lot of time thinking, and for a while I wouldn't even wear spandex during practice. I would just wear super baggy shorts, and eventually I got over it and just started, like, realizing that, hey, I'm actually good at this sport. Like, why should I let this hold me back? Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like my early struggle with getting into volleyball. And then, you know, once I got to college, I was still, like, kind of in a shell and still really nervous about the ostomy. And so I didn't connect with my teammates when I first got here. I was really just, like, quiet. I kept to myself. I would go out and hang out with them and stuff, but I was still just really quiet, stayed to myself. And, like, sometimes my teammates would even, like, I remember my first roommate, she didn't know what to do with me. I was so, like, in a shell. Like, she would have to ask sometimes, you know, like, should I invite Crystal or stuff like that. And, like, that was before we, like, became really close. And on the court, I remember just having no confidence whatsoever. I remember crying because when we played, like, playground-type games, I wouldn't get picked for a team. And so I was a struggle just, like, building confidence in myself and realizing that I had to put in work to get to me. I was athletic. That was what I had. I had athleticism. But I had work to put in to become a volleyball player. And my biggest hurdle was getting over my fears and just learning to be confident in myself and knowing that in time, if I gained that confidence, in time the skills would come and I would be a much better player on the opposite side of that. Mm. So that was just, like, another hurdle that, you know, popped up early on in my career.
So, I mean, it's really, there's two big takeaways there. In the first one, it was just realizing you're just like everybody else. Everybody else is just training, but you also have this possibility to go at this sport, and you just lost your other sport, right, to the coach leaving. And so you just realize, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to do this. Like, I like it. I'm good at it. Why should I worry about it? And so you work through step by step through that, obviously. It wasn't like overnight, right?
Yeah,
and then
definitely not overnight.
And then the second takeaway that I get from this next one, I think, is you did the same thing. You just went step by step when you realized, you know what? What do I have to lose and what do I have to gain? And you said, okay, well, if I get out of my comfort zone a little bit more, then eventually I'll end up where I want to be. And I think that you can say that you're pretty happy. Actually, you already did with your career and your studies at Alabama. So I know this was, I mean, I like to paint the picture of the hard parts of an athlete's life, because we do have these struggles. And I know we're pretty much just talking about volleyball, but what I do like about your story is that it extends into your personal life, you know, and these situations for sure translated to your personal life. Because while you're dealing with those, right, in volleyball, yeah, you're also thinking about similar things, like, is somebody going to see this in school, et cetera, et cetera. So what I want to do now is take it to a highlight. What's one of the proudest moments in your life? This could be sport or otherwise. What's something that made you extremely proud that you had accomplished or you were a part of? And why was it? And I'm talking like top three in your life.
Wow, top three in my life, something that I'm proud to be a part of.
Or to have accomplished.
To have accomplished, yeah. Definitely, probably, it was my sophomore year. That was the year that I just volleyball related. It was the year I was named the 13th All-American. And that year stands out just because, I didn't mention this when you asked about obstacles, but it's also one of the biggest obstacles. But I was diagnosed with cancer the year going into that season. I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. And, you know, that was really hard because that was right when I had just broken out of my shell and started to become kind of a better team member, a better volleyball player. I'd had like my first season and it went really well. I was named honorable mention All-American. And so I was really like about to just hit the road and just start moving, I felt like. And I was diagnosed with cancer January of 2014, but before my sophomore season. And I remember just thinking like, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do? And I was supposed to change positions in volleyball from middle to opposite hitter that year. And so that was on my mind. I was just starting my degree classes for biology, my upper level classes. And I was like, I was really excited for those classes. I'm like, I'm mm-hmm. so excited to finally start them. And I didn't want to miss out on those. So I decided to stay in school, take chemotherapy down in Tuscaloosa. So I can continue to train, continue to do school. And I stayed the entire time. I trained. I got ready to play this new position. And going into the season, I was a little bit nervous just because, like, by the way, I did beat cancer. I was in complete remission in April, and then I finished chemo in July right before we started camp. And so going into the season, the cancer was gone. I had everything in front of me, and I just expected it to be a great season, and it was a great season. My team broke the school record for wins, and we made it to the second round of the NCAA tournament for the first time in school history. And just knowing, like, that team and, like, how we had been building up to that point and how my struggles with cancer had helped make the team closer, that year just stands out as being one of the most amazing times of my year. I remember one of the most important games of that year was our first game against LSU. My oncologist came and he sat on the bench.
Wow.
And he was just like stunned at like just being able to see me out there playing. And like I was just so happy to have him on the bench because he had meant so much to me in the previous, you know, 6 months of continuing to stay positive with me and letting me know that I was going to beat cancer. And so that season was just amazing for me, just knowing that I had beat cancer, that I had done it with the support of my teammates, that we had grown closer because of that, and that we were able to break school records as a team. So,
There are two huge takeaways in this. And I love to hear the stories and then be able to do these takeaways because, you know, I got into the podcasting thing because I was consuming them and I was loving them. And there was one podcast where the guy always was he would say the takeaway. He'd say, you know, summarize what the person was saying, but from their experience, why it actually mattered. And there's so many parts of that that matter. But if I were going to just condense them into two really important things, the first one is that you had a circle of people around you between your team, your oncologist, your family that really just supported you and really helped you, like gave you the strength. I mean, they weren't making decisions for you, right? You made decisions. You said that you want to do this or do that, and you went after it. And I think that the second thing outside of people is that you challenged yourself, you know, and you had challenges. And I think that that's so important to remember as athletes, that while some things are out of our control, like having cancer, this is something we just cannot control. We could do our best, but you can't control that. You never know. But there are situations that you can't control. Like you said, you know what? I guarantee you there are a lot of people in your life that were like, well, you just finished this in April. You really want to go to camp like a month and a half later or whatever? And you challenged yourself. You pushed yourself. But because of you pushing yourself, not only the one where you didn't have a choice in it, but the one where you did have a choice in it, look where you ended up come fall, right? We always come through these challenges stronger on the other side, whether we wish them upon ourselves or not. And I think that that's a really important takeaway, that combined with people around us. I love the saying, it's a really important saying, that you are the average of the five closest people to you. Or you could say the five people you spend the most time with. And that could be that you chat with, that you see, just really the most communication with. And obviously your team did so much as a team because everybody around you was really operating at a higher level. So thank you so much for sharing these couple stories. What I want to do is wrap things up here. And I just want to give, like, if you were to look back at Crystal Rivers at, let's say, 17 years old, okay? About to make some huge decisions, transitioning between sports, not knowing, you know, what's going to come next, and just going for it, right? Doing cartwheels down the wall or a hallway, like probably not at that age, but you know what I mean. So if you were to look back at her and you were going to say, I'm just going to write down a few of the most important lessons that I should be able to read in my own voice or listen to, let's say, and hear myself say them so I know I could just get started on this path and not let a few things slow me down or stop me, what would they be? And a quick reason why.
Yeah. Okay. One of my favorite quotes is, difficult roads often lead to beautiful destinations. And that would probably be the first thing I would tell myself, just because, like, I've had so many difficult roads, like, even up until the point that I was 17, and then after being 17, you know, like, so much has happened. But just I would just want to remind myself that no matter what's in front of you, like, no matter what challenge is in front of you, if you get through it, the opposite side of that is going to be so much better for you. So much success is built upon failure, and it's the same way with the difficulties in our life. And I think if we start to remember, like, those little things, we're so much better off as people. We can remember that we're going to be challenged in life. It's going to happen. Life happens. And if you take those challenges head on and you push through them, you're going to be so much better as a person on the opposite side of it. Like, you're going to see so much growth in your life if you push yourself to get through obstacles that are placed in front of you.
Mm. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. All right, quick fire, a few different things. But before I forget, who was the oncologist that helped you?
Dr. David Hinton.
Shout out to doctor then.
Yeah.
Where was he?
Sorry, what is that?
At what place was he?
The DCH Cancer Center in Tuscaloosa.
Uh-huh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, we give him some shout outs there. a person, place, or thing, you could name a couple that you're grateful for in your life.
My life. my family. My family has always, like, been supportive of me. Alabama, the university. I'm grateful just because of all the growth that I had here. Just being surrounded by, like, my team, the wonderful, like, staff, team professors that I've had. Like, I've grown into such a better person than, like, when I first got here. So I'm, like, so grateful for just this university.
Mm-hmm. A tool or habit that you couldn't live without doing or having? You can name, let's say, more than one.
Okay. habit, or it's more of a hobby, is reading. I still read a lot, and I have to have books around me at all times. I have to have me reading a book at all times. And then probably YouTube. I have a habit of watching, like, tons of videos on YouTube.
Nice. You're going to have to invest in a Kindle or some kind of ebook reader, because when you're on the go, trust me, it's going to be hard to bring all those books with you.
Yeah.
they get pretty heavy. I'm like, I have my one Bible right now, I call it. It's Kelly Starrett's Becoming a Supple Leopard. And I mean, it literally is a book that's so thick. I mean, I'm holding up, it's going to be audio, so they're not going to see my fingers, but it's like 2 inches thick. And it's big, like, you know, twice as big as my head in terms of the width. So, goodness. So you definitely get something like that. There's another tool that you'll be able to use. And there's actually a really cool, I don't know if you've heard of it, when I listen to John Lee Dumas on Entrepreneur on Fire, I love that podcast. And actually, I've gotten out of listening to it a bunch. But he always recommends this one source for books, and I've got to figure it out. And I'll put it in the show notes. Actually, Janae or Melina, whoever's doing the show notes, please put that in there if you remember. I guess what I'd like to do now is just give athletes something that you found in volleyball to keep you in rhythm, because routines and rituals are so important and so key to repetitive success, just as foundational skills are, right? So if you know the keys of some skill and you do them over and over and you focus on doing them really well, it's going to lead to more efficient play, more effective play, and more success, right? So rituals and routines are really important. Like, for instance, when I go back to serve, I have a pretty long routine, so I got to start it early. But every time, that helps me get back into the zone that I need to be to start my action. Do you have anything like that, and why?
Yeah, I definitely have rituals. Like, you know, when I serve, just like you say, you know, it helps you get into a routine, helps you do the same way every single time. But probably one of the biggest things that's helped me in, like, my career volleyball-wise, or just an athlete in general, has been visualization.
Mm.
So, you know, as soon as I step on the court, like, if I'm warming up and I'm, you know, I'm running or something, I'm visualizing myself, you know, running on the court or making some amazing play, like, that I'll probably, you know, like, it may not ever happen, but I'm visualizing it. I'm visualizing, you know, being set and, like, which swings can I take? I'm visualizing everything and just trying to break everything down in my head before it happens. Mm. And I think that has been probably one of, like, the most helpful things for me as an athlete. And a short, funny story is I would always visualize, I would visualize, you know, some of the simple things, like, technique-wise, and I would also visualize, like, making, like, a huge play. And this season, I would always visualize, like, making a play, like, getting the ball out of the net, over the net, and then blocking it. And I actually did that this season, where the ball went into the net on the second contact, and I played it out on the third. It went over, and I got up and blocked the ball. And I immediately thought, like, I visualized this happening so much, and yeah, it happened. And I'm just like, it's just crazy how, like, how being mentally prepared for something can really affect, like, it when it actually, like, happens in, you know, real life, so.
Yeah, if you find that video, that'd be so cool to see. But what I do want to throw out there for people is there is a ton of scientific research on exactly this. Same thing with if you, for instance, write things down. So, like, goals, vision statements, things like that. If you write them down with a pen and paper or pencil and paper, whatever, that action of writing connects the mind to the body to actually start these things to be, like, absorbed, or so you can actually start accomplishing them. Because it's like, if you think them and you just let them stay in there, they get kind of lost. But these commit them to memory. And just like that, when you replay things in your mind or you create situations in your mind, it also, your brain, the way it works, it actually fires the same synapses that triggers your muscles to remember those actions, and they haven't even done them. So it's amazing, because you see athletes, for instance, that might have been out of their sport for a year. You hear stories of Olympians that have done this before, maybe coming through injury and they couldn't train for a long time before the Olympics. And then they had this short window to train. And then how the heck did they get gold or silver or bronze, you know, or do well at all? Well, they visualize. So definitely a great habit. We'll have to chat more about this when the girls are on in one of our hangouts. But thank you so much for coming on. And I just want to say that I'm grateful not only to be working with you as a young athlete who's going to make her push for pro, which you definitely will. But as someone who just is a really good example of not letting anything slow you down for too long, because everything's going to have some effect on us. But as long as we keep pushing forward, like you said, there's always this great thing on the other side that comes out of it. And we're never going to know what that is until we push through, right? So thank you so much, Crystal Rivers, for being on. And any last words before you go?
First, I just want to say thank you, you know, for having me on here. And like you said, you know, I'm excited to start my career with Elite Volley. So just thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. And last thing before you go is, what would be, now that you've worked with me and you've been an athlete for so long, what would be your definition of being beyond athletic, more than an athlete. How would you go about that if you were going to define yourself as beyond athletic?
Wow. If I were to define myself as, you know, beyond athletic, it would be, I'm trying to form this into words, but the one word that keeps popping into my mind right now is strength. So I'm probably just gonna go with that. It's a simple word, but I just think, like, just having strength in everything you do is gonna be able to push you beyond athletics.
I love that, and I'm just gonna compliment it by saying when you're being strong, and I think what you're alluding to is that more than physical strength. So we're incorporating social strength, emotional strength, mental strength, all of these different aspects. So thank you so much again, Crystal, and I'll talk to you soon.
Great, thank you.
Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please make sure that you go to iTunes, you rate and review us, whatever it is. We're going to be trying to highlight in the future anyone that does leave a review. I hope that this inspired you. I hope that this showed you that there are things that you might be going through that others are going through, and that there are others like them, and that there are ways to get through them. Everyone's going to struggle, but I think Crystal summed it up best when she said, have strength in everything that you do. And I think that that is a great life lesson. I hope that if you do like this, if you did enjoy it, if you do think of someone else, if this does affect you, if you are struggling with similar things, I hope that you will speak out, and I hope that you will fight against these things and fight to find that strength within yourself that says, I can get through this and I can apply this to other things in my life. And on the other side, there is going to be something beautiful, as Crystal said. So thanks for listening, and until next time.
So now I'm up in the courts, pleading my case from the witness box, telling the judge and the jury the same thing that I said to the cops on the day that I got arrested.
What are we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.